used, you know, as part of the record. So, and then we did the rest of the record at Chapel Recording Studio. The bass player, what's his name, Richie Pattar, that's right, yeah. He wasn't able to play on the record because of musicians' union rules. That was disappointing because he's a phenomenal musician, really amazing.
Oh, so he didn't play? Right?
No, he wasn't able to play because of the musicians' union rules. They would never be able to play. So we had to get a guy in to come and play the bass. You know. Mm-hmm. But he's a sensational musician, my God. We used to have jam sessions together playing some of those Beach Boys tracks that he co-wrote. There's a really sweet guy, lovely guy. He was always on the phone to his friends in California. Probably got Michael Love and people like that all the time, yeah. I was a successful guy.
Are you going to do anything else with Neil in the future?
Neil? I rarely see him. Neil and there's an affinity between us that's everlasting, and one that we established realized it was everlasting as well. Had so much musical interest, so much in common musically. We really knew each other, you know, without knowing, you know, literally knowing each other for years and years, but we just had so much in common. Yeah, our artistic background, you know, sort of art school. So we both came from very, very similar backgrounds, musically and artistically, a lot in common. So we just started in together, and it was probably very easy to work together.
Yeah.
Very easy to put together, because that's, plus we probably had the same, you know, type of sense of humour.
Mm-hmm.
Always laughing, always in stitches laughing. And at the time, both quite heavy drinkers. The last thing he used to listen to at night was the Black Dyke Mills Band. And he'd sit there carrying on drinking this wine.
Yeah.
And he'd end up asleep in front of these two enormous loudspeakers. Just listening to the Black Dyke Mills Band. They were the bottom of
the Black Dyke?
Conked out, you know.
It's the Black Dyke?
Yeah, the Black Dyke Mills Band, yeah. Or that type of music.
What kind of music have you heard of?
Well, it's... It's from the north of England, and it's euphoniums, trumpets, bugles, and it's band music, you know, it's brass band music.
Band.
They play classics and they play, well, anything, you know, but it's a sensational sound, it's a unique sound, and it was something that Neil really used to love to listen to, and I remember his house, doors full of sculptures and things. It was a new thing for me, a new world for me, working with people like that. I never knew Viv at the time. Viv was always apart from what we did. I think there was animosity always between him and Viv, so we never spoke of Viv.
Mm-hmm.
And now, after working with Viv, after all these years, probably more than 10 years, I'm not sure that whether I can listen to Neil's music. Because I find Viv far further out than Neil ever was. We did tours with Neil, we worked a lot with Neil.
Did you tour on the Hustle Community album? Did you tour with that? We just went for everything and stuff.
No, we toured with Neil. We put a group together with him, and we toured England with him. That was the same group. Neil had produced an album for a guy called John Otway, who I also continued to work with. John Otway and I went to the States as a duo, playing violin and guitar. And Neil produced this record. I can't remember the title of the record, the John Otway record. It was produced by Neil Innes. And the same band, John Holsey, Paul Martinez, I can't remember who was the bass player and the drummer. Touring and Germany to John Otway. But before that, we'd done the tour with Neil, you know, the university and so on.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Neil for ages, you know, I didn't know what he's up to. I suppose he's, you know, lapsed into making a living here.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking about doing an album. He wants to get out another album. Because for a while he didn't want to, and he was getting tired of doing TV stuff.
Neil is a musician. He really is a musician and a performer, and I'm sure that that's what he prepared to do. Mm-hmm. Another record, another album.
Was the Ruttle stuff a lot of fun to do? The Ruttle stuff?
The Ruttles record. It was. We were all very much into the spirit of what it was all about. We knew, I knew what it was about. Because, I'd seen the Beatles many times. Many times. I'm from that part of the world, and in my youth, I used to see them quite a lot. I used to go to Liverpool to see them, and they used to come to Southport, where I was, and I saw them quite a lot. I knew really all about them, because it's one grown up with their development. And so it was the Beatles were always my Bible. But I was very close to them. And later, to meet George Harrison, we did a show. I don't know what it was, a charity show, that's right, a Save the Whales show. And Eric came backstage with George, because they were very good friends, probably still are. And I met George Harrison. George came up to me and said how much he liked my guitar playing on the Ruffles record. And he asked me, how did I learn to play guitar like that? Which is an absurd question. And I just simply said, well, I got it all off you. I got it all from you. I didn't get my guitar playing style from George Harrison, but what I did on the Ruffles records, I got from George Harrison. It was emulating what he did and thinking, trying to think like him. But I suppose it didn't end up sounding like that. It ended up sounding like he started playing guitar. That was my interpretation of how him and the Ruffles type of situation. Have you read that book by George Harrison? I Mean Mine.
Right.
And he said that, the Beatles should have joined up with the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band and should have formed a giant unit, we should call it more what they wanted to do, collectively. I found that amazing to read,
He was a big poet.
Sure, indeed. They appeared in Virgin Whiskey to us, didn't they? But during that period, I was a total Beatles fan. I was always listening to what they were doing and following what they were doing. All you have to do is listen to our records, because you can get a copy of them. But for him to say that was amazing. He came, we embraced each other, and he said, "Oh, Ollie, how did you learn to play guitar like that? How do you play guitar like that?" I said, "Well, I just got it from you, man. It's from you. It's you. It's supposed to be you." It's sweet.
What about not working with Bit? How long was that go back?
I left England. You see, I left England in 1979. When the Yorkshire Ripper here, Margaret Thatcher started up her regime. As I said to you earlier, I was looking for an opportunity to live abroad, move abroad. But the last thing I did in England, before I moved away, was an album we did, Tables Don't Knit. I suppose I got that job by working with Neil, because Neil was involved with that recording. He played some keyboards on that recording. So he may have said, "Well, get Ollie along."
Right around that time.
It wasn't long after that time, it's true. I didn't really know Liv at the time, because he was this legendary person, this incredible, enigmatic individual with distinction. Hanging out with Keith Moon, doing all those crazy things that he did, and stuff. Wow, it was fun. And he lived up to that reputation. The rehearsals were amazing. I'll never forget the time. It was break time. We'd been rehearsing. And it was break time. And we all went up to the pub. to get something to eat and drink or something. And Dave said, no, don't worry about me, I'll stay here. I'll think of something to do here. And he had a secret bottle of Southern Comfort somewhere. And he stayed in the fucking rehearsal room. And when we got back, he was asleep on the floor behind the drum kit. And the drums were covered in blood. Yeah, he'd been bashing the drums with his fucking bare hands. He got back, and he was asleep behind the drum kit. No, he just passed out, he was pissed. But the record got done. The record was done. Terry keeps his clips on. Lots of things. Lots of nice things. That's how I started working with him. I went to Sweden. I got a phone call from him. What are you doing? What are you doing? And I left the country. I'm pulling out. You know, I'm taking some time out of here. You have to come back. It was a freaking incoherent phone call. Then I was in touch with some other friends. He said that they had been in some trouble. Up to all kinds of things. Unbelievable things. I don't know. It's hearsay. I'll leave it at that. Then I went to Spain. And he found out where I was in Spain. I got this long letter from him. That was when he was in Bristol. You know, so he's tried to, it's sweet of him really, you know, he's tried to maintain contact with me over the years, you know, this time I've been away. And I was really grateful for that, you know, this the letter, because a letter from Viv Stanchel is not just a letter from anybody. A long-receiving letter to Christ Almighty, this guy, when he writes a letter, it's just fucking knocks you sideways. It brings all of the British vibe and all of the Viv Stanchel vibe. He says so much with so little. Then, much more recently, you know, I came back to do this new record. But I live in Madrid. I stay in Madrid, and I live in Spain. I live in the Balearic Islands, and once in a while tour Europe. You know, that's about it. Really. It goes on for the guy's energy is incredible. The guy's energy, what he's doing now, it's an inspiration. Anybody who's had a problem with drinking, you know, I had several problems, drugs and drinking and so on, personality problems. Never stopped me working. I've never been ill. Never, ever been ill. But recently, you know, been one or two problems and stuff like that. But to sit and talk with Viv and to see him, to work with him, is a real shot in the arm in terms of, you know, energy. It's tremendous. It's a tremendous inspiration to anybody worried about their own identity and so on, because he's fought it and he's won. He's brilliant.
How did you like this whole show thing, doing this live gig for this week?
It was great. It's what it should be about. The foundation for it all was, you know, solidarity with Viv. But a lot of things developed, I think. You know, I'm always looking for development, I'm always looking for something to grow. I always want to end up with something more than what I started with. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about financial gain in any way. Money has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with it. I'm not worried about that. You know, to make a good living in Spain and that's all right. But to come here and be involved with this, we all learnt a lot. We all learnt a lot. And Viv is a fountain of inspiration. He really is. He's an amazingly powerful guy. Amazingly powerful guy. It's a good point of reference. Come back here and see this. It's good. It's good. Profoundly moving. Difficult, you know, hard work, but worthwhile, very worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. I know you're going back to Spain now, but are you going to be back to, you got any more work to do on this album for Vivian, or
no? No, I was in the studio all day with him yesterday, right. And I, you know, we did as much as I could do in 6 hours. We did you know, as much as we could do. I would like a song with him. We were talking about some backing vocals and things like that, which I would like to have done. I played some guitars, did quite a lot of the guitars. But I think another couple of days would have been nice, actually. It's a pity I've done that today. I would, ideally, it would have been good to stay here a few days more to have done some more work. But I really must get back. I've been away 2 weeks. And, you know, I could have been sort of there. But I would have liked to sung with him, maybe played a little banjo.
Any plans of doing anything in the future with Vivian?
Sure, I'd love to, you know. Really love to. I'd like to see him get more established here. More, you know, I think people in this country they need good sanction. Mm-hmm. I think they need people like that. They definitely need to laugh. They need to laugh and look at themselves. This certainly does that. You know, it makes people think about things. They need to. This country is, you know, it's why I don't live here. Mm-hmm. And it's a fucked up country. It really is. You know, it's a day-to-day thinking. Why are they here? Why? What purpose do they have? Why are we going this fucking earth? You know, to pay bank credits, to pay mortgages, no siree, no way, no way on earth. No. The human mind, we are capable of so many fucking things. It's just infinite. Nobody knows. They're just looking in at the window, you know, they're just walking down the street without knowing what they're capable of doing. It's just lost. I mean, this country needs people like this. The world needs people like this, actually. It really does. But there's nobody here doing what he does. Nobody here, and I'd like to see him get to a broader audience, at least. Get to people more.
Get people, I mean, as he's shown this album around.
Has
he sent this out, you know, has anything this album done when he sent it out to people to see if anybody wants to pick it up yet?
No, he just spoke to me now. We just went, sat down and had a chat. He said that he wants to, you know, mix, he wants to put some money into mixing what he's got recording, what he has recorded. And then look for some kind of backing, some kind of distribution. You know, it's the same old story. It's like making films. You know, you have to make it and then you sell it, and you distribute it. But I think Viv is dangerous. I think Viv is a dangerous person. He's a, you know, I don't think he's prepared to conform. You do certain things, but you know, it's so in need. This attitude, this point of view, is very, very new.
What about you?
I just heard about you.
Peter John.
Peter. I put it on for people, for Peter.
Okay.
So if to send you some more, what's what?
All right, then.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Yeah.
So what are your plans now? Are you going to work on this Kevin Ayers thing?
I was here to finish a record with Kevin, and that's very good, that's very promising. It's a different thing, but Kevin is as well really quite a dangerous character. But Kevin is more, it's more sort of broad popular music feel. Mm-hmm. But the new record is interesting. It's beautiful. There's a lot of care going into the making of this record. An awful lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Well, you have been going back, though.
Yeah, we go back a long time. But Kevin, I don't know. Doors are opening now for Kevin in terms of demand. That is to say, you know, there appears to be a public for him. More of a public here in this country. Who knows? He's just making this record, doing the best he can with the record, and you know, we may break out with that. We could certainly go to Japan, mm-hmm. and we could certainly go to New York. You know, with this, mm-hmm. we have some great contacts in New York, Caroline Putzman, She now is in a very good position there, and she's in contact with Kevin. And we're going to try and get over there. We'll certainly go to Japan because that is an established outlet for Kevin, and probably Europe as well. But this, you know, that's good because it looks good because the record's good. Right. Kevin has really applied himself to the recording. Got himself involved. He's given a lot of himself. This is fucking hard to do, you know. It's been a long time since he's ever done such a thing. So. But that's looking good, no? Kevin. Back in Spain, I'm a record producer. I make records, pop records, rock records. I don't do Spanish music. I just do, you know, young groups and singers who want to, you know, sound like European or American artists. Do that for Spain, South America.
Yeah, great.
Work really hard.
So you're going back there today then?
Sure, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to keep back for a few days. I'm just going to climatize myself again. Yeah. It's going to be like fucking 10 times hotter than it is here.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've got the motorbike straight out of the garage, and I'm going to cruise around. You know.
Yeah.
Just relax for a while. Work.
Yes.
Sure. Just work, keep working.
Alright.
There's no other way.
Maybe that should keep me happy then.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Good.
Just something.
You got a few tidbits there about the, you know, what happened in the studios.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's all I want. I mean, you know, it's just something that, you know, because you were a big part of this trip, you know, for me and everything, being roommates and all. And I think, well, I got you here, might as well get something.
You're okay.
Yes.